What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Big savings are in the air. Don't miss your chance at 15% cash back during Rakuten's Big Give Week. Shop and get rewarded at your favorite stores like Adidas, KitchenAid, Expedia, and hundreds more. So go ahead and refresh your closet, spruce up your home, book that trip, and much more. But 15% cash back is only from May 4th to the 11th. So join now. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app and join for free and start saving. That's Rakuten.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Right, stay tuned to the end, folks, because we will be giving away one of our Barbarian Breed t-shirts, and you'll find out more details at the end of the show.
How the devil are you all?
That's a lot of drops.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Sorry, I just did an introduction and Lee called me out on it. So.
Yeah, it was very fake. Homoerotic.
No, it's professor-like.
Well, you call it that, I call it homoerotic.
I'm a professor.
Right.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be looking at... I'm a doctor of logic. I told you that joke.
No.
Anyway, I'll tell you at the end then. So today we're going to be looking at a UFO case. And this is predominantly because there's been a lot of things recently on UFOs. And going back a few months now, I wanted to do this show a while back. And the reason for that was, like I was just saying before we had a gremlin in the works. Incidentally, I have just had a gremlin tattoo. So that's on the socials. Is it on the socials?
I don't know. It might be on your OnlyFans.
It's on my OnlyFans, but I don't think it's on the socials. So I'll put that up if people want to look at it, if you want to look at it. I just had a gremlin tattoo. But anyway, what was I saying about... if we had gremlins in the works, we'd have to do this again. I was going to watch a documentary called Moment of Contact. So it's James Fox, I think, the guy who directs it. And he did another show called The Phenomenon. I think it was a documentary called The Phenomenon. And that was looking at, like, UFO cases all around the world, and you know, various pilots and things like that had seen UFOs, and that was really good. Anyway, he did this, he did another one called Moment of Contact, and it focuses on this case, the Virginia in Brazil.
Oh,
case. So
that's why I keep, because you were telling me about this, and I'm like, no,
Virginia.
No, I'm like, it's definitely. You're like, no, yeah. It's Virginia. I'm like, yeah, no, it's yeah. definitely Virginia. But now no, I know why.
Virginia. So, but that Moment of Contact focuses on this case, and I wanted to watch that documentary. But what I've not done, I've not watched it, and purposely not watched it, because I wanted to read up about the case and then do the show and then watch it, right? Because reason being is I didn't want to come on here and tell you everything what happens in the documentary, and then it's not worth you watching it, is it?
No, I suppose not.
Right, so I purposely not. So I'm going to give you the outline of the case, what I've got here, and then if you watch the documentary, there might be still stuff in the documentary that I'm not saying here. So if you haven't seen it, then it's worth a watch. Incidentally, on that, I did a film review. I did three ghost films, or a couple of ghost films the other day that people had messaged me and said, you know, watch this, or people that I know said, watch this film, it's really good. One of them was The Pantry Ghost, one of them was Mansfield Ave or something. And anyway, I did a review on that a couple of episodes back, so if you haven't listened to that, then go and listen to it. I said I was going to do another review on UFO films, and I put one up in the Facebook page the other day, and that went like wildfire. Everyone was saying that a lot of people had seen that. It was Dark Skies that I mentioned on there, and that's an alien film, and a lot of people had seen that, and everybody who's seen it's enjoyed it. It's one of them.
Yeah,
I think it's really good. But I just mentioned that on there, and I'll do a show midweek or something like that where maybe I look at a couple of films or things. So if anyone's got any suggestions to things and that. There's a bonus one on there called The Road as well. And if you haven't seen The Road, that is very harrowing. Again, it's just a couple of episodes ago, so if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it. That's what I say, it's just that.
What about Signs?
Yeah, I'll probably talk about Signs.
I like that. Film, that's one of my favourites.
I made the kids watch that.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Why?
They loved it, though.
I shit myself watching that.
Yeah, I thought they would, but it was all right.
I was only young when I saw that. Wouldn't that come out about 15 years ago? Oh, something easy, like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have been about 13, 14 when I watched
it. Probably 6 or 7 when they watched it. They enjoyed it, though. They liked
it. Yeah, I think I crapped my pants, to be honest. But
Virginia. Yeah.
Brazil. So we just go with Brazil.
And luckily, I haven't said fanny yet. Vagina. But anyway, so let's...
fucking fanny.
Let's... Crack on.
Dear.
So these events take place between a window of the 13th of January to the 22nd of January 1996. So it's pretty recent. When you think about Roswell, things like that, everybody who was involved in Roswell's dead. Even some of the children of the people involved are dead. You know, that's been that long.
Yeah.
So this one, you know, theoretically, it's pretty recent. And people that are involved in this are still alive.
Yeah, I would have been. Yeah, I'd have been six.
You know, but it's not spoken about as much. And obviously, like I say, this documentary coming out has sort of brought it back up. You know, it's back up again, and you know, people's interest in that. And obviously, there's things going on as well with like this disclosure thing and this UFO landing in LA, which is interesting. I've got. I don't know if you've. Listen to the recording. You listen to the recording, the bloke ringing it in.
No.
I'll play that for people to listen to.
Leave her alone.
It's almost midnight on May 1st when a Las Vegas Metro police officer's body cam catches this. Something flashing low in the sky.
911 emergency.
Minutes later.
There's like an 8-foot person beside it and another one's inside and it has big eyes and looking at us and it's still there.
Someone calls 911 reporting two large figures in their backyard.
No, I'm so nervous right now.
The 8 News Now investigators obtaining another officer's video as he's sent to the Northwest Valley home.
I have butterflies, bro. Everyone saw a shooting star, then these people say there's aliens in their backyard.
By now, it's more than an hour after that bright light, officers meeting up with the caller and his family.
What'd you see?
It was like a big creature.
A big creature?
Yeah, like around 10 feet tall.
I'm not going to BS you guys. One of my partners said they saw something fall out of the sky too, so that's why I'm kind of curious. Did you see anything land in your backyard? Or?
They see like a big, that's what they say. They see like a big something with light.
What I saw right now, I do believe in it.
Police walk into the backyard to investigate, but Metro blacked out that part of the video because it's considered private property. What's clear? They're taking this call seriously.
Hey, this might sound like a really dumb question, but did you guys see anything fall out of the sky?
Asking others what they saw.
I would normally discount it as nothing. However, seeing as one of my partners said they saw it too, only reason I'm actually investigating it further.
That investigation turning up no concrete answers as of Wednesday. Whatever or whoever fell into that yard, long gone within minutes.
Oh, hey. If those 9-foot beings come back, don't call us, all right? Deal with it yourself. That I ain't dealing with that.
So there you go. So people at home have listened to that recording there. But essentially what's happening there is a guy, well, it's been filmed from a few different people's perspective, but there's this blue sort of orb going through the sky. It's fairly big. Yeah, it looks like when a meteor comes down, bigger than a shooting star, but they'll see that, and you can see it from different perspectives. So more than one person saw this, and it's a blue light, which is, you know, it's not common. And it seems to be controlled. It seems to be looking for somewhere, and obviously it must have had an issue. Well, and I say obviously, but it looks like the craft had an issue. It landed to take care of the issue, and these beings got out in this guy's garden. So these 8-foot tall, I think he said it was 8-foot tall, creatures were there. And a police officer actually saw this. He didn't see the creatures. He saw this craft, radioed it in. And when the dispatch got onto the patrol officers and said, like, you need to go investigate, they was like, oh, fuck off, you know what I mean? What, like, UFO? But then they said, well, so-and-so, you know, one of our other officers actually saw it. So they was like, what? So they took it a bit more serious at that point.
Mm.
And they went and investigated it. They asked the neighbours and that. And the neighbours had seen something strange as well. So there's a few witnesses to this. But incidentally, you know, what's being claimed now is that they've put up a camera on the house. So whoever's done that, the police or whatever, they've actually put a camera on the house, on the roof. So it's watching where this thing landed in case it comes back.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not totally out the realms. It's not totally weird, because in many, many UFO cases, the craft will return to the scene of the crime, so to speak. Rendlesham, that's a good example, where the craft came back 3 or 4 nights on a trot.
Mm.
You know, other cases that they do tend to come back. So, you know, whether they expect it to come back or whether they're just hoping it comes back, but they put a camera up. So they're obviously taking it a bit more serious than... Do you know, like, normally you get these reports on the news where they play the X-Files music and...
Yeah.
Little Green Men and all that shit.
Well, I find it... Well, I mean, I go back to the episode I did a few weeks ago and was talking about the Flying Dutchman. Mm. And it goes back to credible sources. Mm. You know, you get this hillbilly in the middle of America, you know, toothless, just got out of bed with his sister, going, I saw a craft.
Yeah.
You're going to go, yeah, I bet you fucking did. When it comes from a police officer, it's taken a bit more seriously.
Well, like now I said, it's coming from actual army, naval intelligence and all that. Now,
yeah.
So, you know, this crushed stuff. So we're getting a bit more, you know, and people can take that either way, but it's getting a bit more out there now.
But again, I find it really strange, you know, how something as, and let's be honest, this is massive. When you're talking about human history and things like that, literally... Naval intelligence is coming out. I mean, didn't the US release a thing about 2-3 years ago? Basically came out and went, yeah, UFOs exist, but we can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the MOD have said for years.
But how is that not mainstream news? Because, how are people just ignoring
it? It is mainstream news, but...
It's just buried, though. Yeah.
But even when you see, like... I don't know, say like something happens and it's on Facebook, like news report and that, and you get so many people putting laughing emojis on it and stuff like that, and you think, what are you laughing at? It's just the facts. It's like, it's like someone saying, like, I don't know, oh, it's going to snow today, and everyone putting laughing emojis on. It's like, what are you laughing at?
COVID's real.
Yeah, but that would be something to laugh at. But I mean, it's just people just can't accept it. And again, yeah. And I think there is a lot of brainwashing out there with religions and things like that.
Everything. The whole world's propaganda, mate.
Yeah, once you're sort of inside those, it's difficult to see outside of it. Mm-hmm. So you can understand from that perspective. But it's just the facts are the facts. And
humans can't believe they've been lied to. That's
no,
the problem.
I mean, I was talking to Annalise the other day because he was watching a film and it's Skyman or something like that. And that was pretty shit. But it started with that Arthur C. Clarke quote, you know, there's only two possibilities, two extreme possibilities, either the universe is full of life or we're the only life in the universe, but either scenario is equally terrifying. Mm. And obviously she got it and she was like, yeah, and I was saying, what do you reckon? And she was saying, there's got to be something out there. She's 6 years old, you know. But again, she's never been brought up religious, so she's open-minded. Yeah. You tend to find that people who have been brought up religious tend to be a little bit less open-minded. So, again, the States used to be like a religious country. It's not so much anymore. In fact, they're banning Christianity, as far as I can tell. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I don't know.
They're banning everything.
Yeah. Well, it is becoming more communist by the day, isn't it? Mm. I think everywhere is eventually, but the States is really growing rapidly.
Well, we're not far behind here.
Nope. Because we had Keir Starmer at Davos the other day. I don't know if you saw that, but there was an interview. There was someone interviewing Keir Starmer and people, Americans, obviously. 90% of the show are American, so I'll probably have to tell you who he is because nobody will know.
Who'd you compare him to? Mike Pence?
He'd be the Republican nominee.
Yeah, but he's not Donald Trump, is he? Do you know what I mean?
Effectively,
if Donald Trump had never been president... Yeah, that's what he'd be.
He's just their nominee.
He's the number two guy from the other party.
They don't really have that, do they? They don't have like the shadow thing like we do.
No. But
they have like equal and opposite in Congress and things like that, don't they? But they don't really have like...
Yeah.
I don't know if they have shadow chancellor.
No. I don't even know why we have them. I don't even know why we have them.
No, I don't really.
Doesn't really make sense.
Something goes wrong with the others. If they get kicked out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, Keir Starmer is essentially, he's in charge of the Labour Party. So we have two parties in England.
Two main parties.
We have two parties. We don't have any other parties. Any other vote is a wasted vote because they're never going to get in. With the way the system is rigged, you can't get in. It's like UKIP got more votes than half those did, but they got one seat.
Yeah.
Because it's first past the post. But anyway, the point is... it's a rigged system. They all are, aren't they? There's some sort of element of rigged because both parties want to stay in power, don't they?
Yeah, they've got to keep the elites in power.
Yeah, but. So Labour and Conservative sort of switch places every time. They give the illusion that it's different parties. But
yeah, Keir Starmer for the working man used to be what was he? What did he used to do? Head Justice Secretary.
Yeah.
He's been knighted. He's a working man.
I can't remember how I got onto this now, but he was at Davos and essentially was interviewed. And the interviewer said to him, would you rather be at number 10 or would you rather be at Davos? And he said, oh, Davos. And that just shows you where we're going. And again, that's the whole system, isn't it? That's the Americans, us, France, the lot. Europe, if you want to say, it's everything. Yeah. And like hard on in New Zealand and
one world government, Australia.
So
they're pushing for it.
That's where it's going. But yeah, that's so. This disclosure thing is probably going to come. Yeah, at some point it's going to come. But you know, whether you need the government to tell you there's UFOs, aliens, and that. I mean, I don't need anybody to tell me that. It's pretty obvious at this point to me.
But some people do.
Right. So we're looking at
Virginia
in Brazil, and again, these events take place somewhere between the 13th of January 1996 and the 22nd of January 1996. So the little, I don't know why I said that twice, the little paragraph to sum up the case essentially says that this incident involves a series of events in 1996 where residents of Virginia, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Brazil, claimed seeing one or more strange creatures and at least one unidentified object, brackets UFO. Others associate claims include the capture of extraterrestrial by the Brazilian authorities, animal fatalities at a zoo, and a woman impregnated by an extraterrestrial. Reports that were garnered extensive media coverage at the time. So that's basically the rundown of it, and I'll go into a bit more of that as we go through. So... January 1996 then, so this would be the 13th, or, you know, the night of the 13th, if you like. So reports start coming in, okay? So a few farmers and a few locals had seen a cigar-shaped UFO flying erratically. All right, but erratically as in, it was more described as it was wavering or zigzagging. So it was low and it was slow. So it wasn't like, you know, when you think erratically, you're thinking like taking corners real crazy and all that sort of stuff. It was a car. It's not that. It's more like it wasn't going smooth. It wasn't going in a line. It was sort of going side to side.
Almost like it broken down, would
yeah,
you say?
Well, that's, yeah, well, that's kind of what they were saying, that it was... it did have a visible gash down the side of it. What that was caused by, who knows? But it did have a white vapor billowing out of that gash, and it was not smoke. This was like you know, like a vapor more than a smoke,
like a chemtrail on an airplane.
Yeah, it's more that sort of thing. You know, it wasn't like a fire thing.
Yeah,
and there were most all the witnesses were pointing that out, that it didn't look like it was on fire. But again, whatever was up with it was causing it issues because it was like slow and low. And there was no visible tail on it. There was no signs of propulsion. There was no insignia. Everybody that saw it said it looked like it was in distress. So the morning of the... So this is late on, you know, that night. The morning of the 13th, there was a professor, a guy by the name of Carlos de Souza, who was an ultralight pilot. So that's them things in it with the...
single engine. Are they? Isn't that a single engine plane?
Probably.
Yeah. It's not a jet, is it?
No, not the jet. Not the jet. The propeller thing on the back. The microlight thing.
Well, no, that's a microlight.
I don't know what they call them over there, though. What's an ultralight, then?
It's the same thing, single engine aeroplane.
Oh, just like a Cessna
like
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's where he was, anyway. So he was heading out to the runway to
He's not going to need a runway with a backpack on, is he?
Well, no. They don't say runway in the report. I just threw that in. So anyway, this was about 5 a.m. in the morning. Will you shut up anyway and let me...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So anyway, so he's off to obviously meet a group of these fellas to do this ultralight thing. All right. And on the way, he saw... So this is 5 in the morning, so it's, you know, it's just coming light. And he saw this. He saw this craft, and he observed the gash as well. And it did look like it was in distress. He actually witnessed it hit the ground.
Right, okay.
And of course, at this point, if you imagine you've got a cigar-shaped object a little ways in front of you, you know, to all intents and purposes, it's just going to look like a plane from the side angle. So he's assumed it was a plane. He followed it, and it seemed the closest track he could take. He took that track. He went down this track, and this was the entrance to McLeaney's farm, all right. And when he got there, he could see the debris field, jumped out, and he's noticed that, in his words, the vast majority of the craft was broken up, but there was almost like three sections that were still sort of intact. If you imagine a fuselage of a plane, it broke up into three pieces. That's basically what he was seeing. No wings, no tail, that sort of stuff. Again, no insignia, nothing like that. It's just a silver craft, a cigar-shaped craft. Again, it's broken up, and there was bits strewn all over the place. As soon as he jumped out, well, just to point out, he did say that it looked like it's about the size of a small house. These sections look like this. That gives you some sort of rough idea what these three sections are. So, you know, we're probably looking at bigger than a plane here, but. So the first thing you noticed when he jumped out is that there was a smell. And it was like ammonia mixed with sulfur sort of smell, really sort of strong, and to the point where he had to pull up his jumper over his nose just to stand it. Now, obviously, he's still thinking at this point, this is a wreck of a plane. So he's thinking survivors and I need to help, and you can't just jump back in his car and think, oh, it stinks of piss, so I'm going to jump in the car. Egg and piss. So he pulls up his jumper and he heads towards the craft. And at that point, he stood on some of the debris And it was very similar to what we see at Roswell, this tinfoil material, which is really bright, really light. And when it's rolled up, it springs back. So imagine you've got an A4 piece of paper made out of this tinfoil. You screw it up, you let it go, and it comes perfectly back like an A4 piece of paper.
Yeah.
Smooth, no crinkles. At that point, he knew he was looking at something that wasn't known. I'm not going to say man-made, but yeah. He's basically looking at something that's not man-made.
Yeah.
So again, he's still trying to make his way to the craft to make sure see if there's any survivors, things like that. It's not clear whether he saw a body that was outside the craft on the floor at this point.
Right, okay.
But it seems likely, right? And there's a reason why he didn't talk too much about this, and I'll come on to that in a sec. But at that point, he heard a car approaching. He turned round, and it was a military truck. Soldiers got out basically at gunpoint and forced him away.
Okay.
All right. So he jumps back in his car and he drives. Now he's still a bit shaken by what's just gone on. And about half an hour drive away, he stops at a gas station to fill up and just have a 5 minutes, get a coffee. There's a coffee shop there and stuff, like a little diner thing. And he just wanted to get his head around what he'd just seen. So he pulls up, grabs a coffee, and he's sitting there drinking his coffee, getting his head back together, just collecting his thoughts. And that's when a car pulls up in the car park outside, a black car, and two guys jump out in suits, and they walk over to him, walk in the thing. They don't order anything. They come straight up to his table, and they start talking to him. And talking to him in a way like, saying like, "Hello, Carlos, how's things?" And he's like, "Yeah, not too bad." And they're saying stuff like, "Does your mom still live at such and such a place?" And he's like, "Sorry." And they're like, "Does your mom still live at such? It will be terrible if something was happened to your mom, your mother, wouldn't it?" And stuff like that. And he's like, "What?" And they're like, "You didn't see anything, did you?" And he's like, straight away, he's like, "No." She knows what this is about.
Mm.
And like, "You didn't see anything, you know, make sure you don't tell anybody, blah, blah, blah. And it'd be an awful shame if something happened to your family," and that sort of stuff. And it really give him the shit, you know, shit him up, which he would, you know.
Yeah, just a little
because
bit.
Because he was just trying to get his head around what he'd seen. He knew he'd seen something he shouldn't have seen because the military turned up and all the rest of it. He already knew that he was realistically looking at something that was out of this world. Then these guys turn up, and it's not that the way they're quizzing him and stuff like that that was his major issue. It was that the fact they knew everything about him in such a short time.
Yeah, you know, that's not right, is it?
And they probably got that, presumably, from his number plate or something
like that.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't know.
Pretty quick.
But again, it's going to be off-putting, isn't it?
Just a little
bit. So this is the "don't talk about what you've seen" drill that we've heard countless times from the Men in Black. And essentially, that's what these guys were. Later then, on the evening of the 20th, okay, and this is about 10 miles away from the crash site. This is in the town of Virginia. Yeah? Three girls, there's two sisters and a friend. They were aged 14, 16, and 21. I have got the names. I've forgot them, so I'll just insert the names here. In the edit.
Carry on what you want.
The recording.
Yeah.
Right, so I'll just give you the names there. That want an edit. I did write them down, but then
check your editing skills when I listen back to this.
Probably
now.
Forget to put it. So just make the names up. Yeah. Daisy, whatever. Typical Brazilian names. So anyway, so these three girls were walking back, and they are from school, I believe, and they saw the creature. All right, they were walking up, and there was a breeze block wall. What do the Americans call them? Cinder blocks, is it?
Mm.
Yeah, so a cinder block wall at the back of a house. If you imagine a small, low wall, that's the garden there. And there was a bush one side of it, and this creature was sort of just outside the bush, but against the wall, lent up against the wall, and it looked to be, one of the girls actually said that it did look weak, feeble, vulnerable, and clearly needing help, all right? So when they first saw it, it looked, they describe it as being large-headed, biped, it was on two legs. It was only about 4 feet tall. It had big red eyes, four times the size of a human eye. No hair on its body or its head. brown oily skin, which was greasy. It had spots all over it like veins, so raised veins, though, rather than under the skin. Mm. And it had a bump on its head, which they mistook for horns, because they would think, you know, imagine, you know, religious community, mm-hmm. blah, 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 they think they're seeing the devil.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of brown and, you know, it's unusual looking. Red and eyes. It's got these lumps on its head, which they weren't like lumps as you imagine a horn, you know, sticking up. They were almost like ridges that went from front to back on either side of its head. And they mistook that for horns.
Like Commander Wolf.
No, not on its forehead, on the top of its head.
Have you not seen him with this stuff without his hair?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I probably have. I can't fucking remember that shit. But anyway, so that's they obviously think it was that. Now, one of the girls does point out, the eldest one, she actually got a message in her head, which would be telepathy, from this creature asking for help.
That does happen.
That happened to me with the goat man. I've told the story on here, the goat man, Anna. Yeah. But that's essentially the message I got when I saw him. I got the message, I'm struggled. I need assistance sort of thing. Again, it wasn't conveyed in words like that. So I didn't get the message in my head saying, I need help, can you help me, that sort of thing. Didn't get that. I just got, whatever it is, I got the feeling that that's what he was asking me. Anyway, and she said similar thing to this. So again, it maybe it's just somewhere our brains go. I don't know.
Mm.
When you see something strange like that. Because I got the same message as what she's getting here. So, again. Okay, so they run back and tell the mother that they've seen the devil. All right. So, their mother gets the word around. And the military, at this point, the military police turn up. All right. So, you've got two guys here. Eric Lopez and Marco Trias. I think that's how you say that. Yeah, I'm pretty good with these Brazilian names.
Oh, yeah, you're doing a great job.
Apart from vagina. So, we were told to be on the lookout for something unusual. That's what they were said. All right.
Yeah.
Basically told to go and investigate the area. Now, they weren't told over the radio to go and look for an alien.
Right.
Right. But, obviously, that's what they was there for. Okay, so they were driving around the town and they're about two blocks away from where the girls initially seen this creature, and something run from one side of the road over to the other side of the road in front of the car. All right. It was, I think it was Trias that jumped out. He jumps out. It was one of them anyway. Can't remember now. Just say Trias. It don't really matter at this point. Yeah, it was. I think it was. So he jumps out. He was in the passenger side. So he jumps out and gives chase to this creature. Now, this creature, again, environment, I suppose, but it seemed like it was worse for wear. All right. So he's able to catch it pretty swiftly and wrestle it to the ground. All right. So he grabs the creature. He gets back in the car and he has this creature on his lap. And this creature is struggling, but it's never going to get away from him. You can imagine this, you know, military officer and this little 4-foot creature that's weak and feeble. It's not got much chance at this point. So they take it to the nearest hospital, all right, but the hospital wasn't too keen on having the creature there, and that was because the reaction of the patients. That'll come into play in a little bit.
Right.
But, I'll tell you now, because essentially I'll finish this because it will make sense. So that hospital wasn't keen on having that creature there, so they radioed and they were told to take it to the nearest military hospital. So that's where they took it to. All right. So Marco, in wrestling this creature, was covered in this greasy, oily substance, which is the same as what the girls report seeing this creature. It said that, you know, grease, and he describes it as almost being like a silicone sort of oil. It was that sort of thick and greasy, and it covered his whole body, really. And he took to alcohol, rubs, things like that to try and get it off, and it took him a hell of a long time to get this grease off him. It was that thick, like an oil.
Yeah.
And again, he was 23 at the time. He was healthy, and he had a slight gash apparently on the upper arm. Now, it's not clear whether this gash was from the encounter with a creature, or if it was just something that he had from you know, just day-to-day life.
Yeah.
But some of this oil clearly got into the gash on his arm from wrestling this creature. A few days after the encounter, well, it was about 2 weeks, more or less, he got really, really ill. And this wound that he had on his arm was infected, all right? He went to the hospital, took himself to the hospital, but he was in a bad way. The doctors gave him every antibiotic they had over the next few days to try and rid this infection, but his immune system just couldn't cope with the infection and he passed away.
Okay.
So he died indirectly, if you want to say that. We don't know. Is it just, you know, from a different place, or is there the bacteria and different things that's going to happen from different planet? Is it just that? Is it just... To me, it seems more like it was just a foreign being. Yeah. And it, you know, it won't necessarily... He didn't maybe not want to do it, you know what I mean? But I don't know. Because you get frogs, don't you? And the people describe it almost like a frog. You know, that sort of... You know, if you imagine a frog that evolved over years to be like us, that's essentially what these people were looking at. And they have, obviously, poisonous skin, things like that. But it took 2 weeks to take hold of him, so I would say it's just bad luck.
Really. Yeah, I would say so.
And maybe if you'd gone to the hospital sooner, I don't know. Incidentally, in the film, the other officer that was involved in that, he's basically become a recluse after the events, and nobody can approach him. I mean, James Fox, the director of things called Moment in Contact, again, there's a documentary about this, so you know, probably worth a watch. I'm going to watch it now. I'll probably watch it this weekend and then review it. But he went to visit this guy, and he was basically threatened. The guy threatened to shoot me in the face if he didn't leave. Didn't want to talk about it. The mother of the officer, she was basically told the same as the other fella. Don't talk about it. All those sorts of things. Bad things will happen to you. That sort of shit. You know, it's a military secret type thing.
Yeah.
And you'd be breaking blah, blah, blah. So they didn't speak about it, which is fair enough. And again, I'll see if... I don't know if they're in the film or not, but it'll be interesting to see if they're in there. So the official story, the cover-up story, if you like, if this is the real story of events that happened, the official cover-up story would be that this was a midget.
A midget?
Yep. A right. midget, or whatever you call them nowadays, who was basically, you know, ugly looking midget, and he was taken to the hospital by firefighters, and that's what the people saw in the hospital. Because obviously civilians saw this creature in the hospital when it was first initially arrived there, and I think it was a pregnant midget, they actually said.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, so that's basically what the official story is. Now, later on, it's reported that the Brazilian authorities obviously collected the wreckage. They collected, obviously, they had this creature, and maybe they had more than one, we don't know, but the Americans flew in to the nearby base in like their equivalent of like a Hercules, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I know the name of it, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. Is it C-30 something or other? Whatever it is, anyway.
I have no idea.
They flew in one of them and offloaded some stuff. That two helicopters flew from there to the other military base where this thing was taken, and probably presumably the wreckage. The two helicopters loaded up, flew back. The cargo was loaded onto that plane,
yeah.
And then that plane left the area. So presumably, the story goes that the Brazilian authorities just didn't have the facilities to cater for this creature, whether it was dead or alive, you know.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the facilities, so they basically at that point had to hand it over to the Americans, who had more facilities for it, because they'd already experienced this before, allegedly, and would again. So the official, not official, the unofficial report says that this is somewhere in Florida, in a base in Florida.
Okay.
The creature is anyway, not so much the wreckage, because obviously I think people would like go Area 51, that sort of shit, but apparently not. It's in Florida. So there you go. So So that's the case. In a nutshell, it's very bizarre, and like I say, Moment of Contact is probably worth a watch.
I find it weird that how they just fob it off as a midget.
Yeah.
Like
dwarfism, that's what they call it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's just
officially.
I'm not sure. Just seems a bit of a convenient excuse. But people just buy it, don't they? Do you know what I mean? It's that old thing, you get told what you've seen, and
well, it's easier, like I said before, when we was talking at the beginning there about UFO cases, it's easier for people to accept something like, you know, as mundane, as ridiculous as that, than it is to accept the possibility
that it could be a UFO.
Of a life in that. But, you know, this goes back to, you know, thousands of years people have been seeing this shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that are explained, you know, our DNA being one of them. Vocal cords. You know, what are vocal cords? What's all that about?
Yeah.
Nobody knows where that comes from.
No, we're the
only
animal.
We just take it for granted, don't we?
Yeah.
It's interesting because when you're looking at Bigfoot and things like that, and I know I'm going off topic here, but the listeners won't mind so much, but Bigfoot's meant to have a language. People have heard it speak. This samurai chat, you know, this... But essentially, it requires vocal cords.
Yeah.
Now, some of the recordings that people have taken of what's allegedly Bigfoot, because they're not necessarily seen doing it, but there's nothing else in the forest that we know about makes these things. They sometimes, when they're checked on the, what's the thing?
I know what you're on about, but I can't think of it. It defines the sound.
Spectrograph, whatever it is. They sometimes show two independent vocals being made at the same time.
Which is a conversation.
No, I mean, like, so, you know, like, if I was singing,
right,
I might go in a high range, you know, I might go, oh, but if I might go in a low range, oh, but I can't do that at the same time.
But they
I can transition between head voice and chest voice,
yeah,
and there'll be a break in the middle. Obviously,
they
if you're more proficient, you can do it without a break, but they can do it at the same time.
So right, they can resonate so it's like both, two sets of vocal
cords.
Yeah,
or two sets of vocal cords.
Yeah.
But that's been recording, countless recording. This is when people say about evidence, you know, there's no evidence and shit like that. I know these dumbasses. There's no fucking evidence. And I'm like, yeah, well, go and replicate that then. You know,
yeah.
And then go to China and replicate, and then go to Russia and replicate, and then go to England and replicate, and then go to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't.
It's just shit like that. And but anyway, getting off topic. So essentially, that's the case. Let me know what you think. If you've watched Moment of Contact, then obviously I'm going to put that up in the group, but I think I'll do a show on it, like I said before. I'll maybe do Misinform One, the UFO Connection. I've got that, and we'll watch that, and we'll review that. Moment of Contact, things like that. Movement. And then see what you think. You guys think. And it's like a book club then, isn't it? It's like, we'll give you like a book to read each week. But I'm not reading though, because I'm fucking dyslexical. So unless there's an audio version of it, I ain't interested.
Yeah.
That's dyslexic for dyslexical people. But yeah, sound like Matt Hancock, me and him like that.
That's not a compliment.
And I'm not very good at showing my emotions either. Okay, so competition time. Right, so those who don't know, we run Barbarian Breed Clothing. It's our own clothing brand. And we are going to give you a free T-shirt. All you have to do to enter is go to the website, which is in the description. If you can't find it in the description, go to the social medias, which is Instagram, Bizarre Tales Podcast, or Facebook group, Bizarre Tales Podcast. The link will be there, Barbarian Breed Clothing. Go on there, select the T-shirt that you want, message me with the T-shirt that you would like to have, and I will pick one lucky winner. I'll announce it on the next show we do, and and you can get the T-shirt.
That's the next show we do together, so that could be any time between now and probably 4 weeks.
Obviously, we are inconsistent, as that review pointed out. But again, these are the ways that you can help us. And then don't leave a shitty review saying you're inconsistent, you fucking need money and all that. Well, then help us out. You know, give us some money and we'll do a fucking show, won't we? You know, if you want to sponsor a show, then brilliant. But there's other ways you can do it. That's not just monetary. We've said before, join the YouTube channel, join the social medias, you know, support us on other platforms. If you subscribe to iTunes, then subscribe to Spotify, subscribe to things. You don't have to listen to it. It's not like we're telling you to listen to the show three times. I'm not saying that. Just subscribe to the show in different platforms, because the way the ratings run, I don't know why, but it's based on subscriptions, not on downloads. So do you see how that works?
Yeah.
So there's plenty of ways. Pricks like that who leave the reviews, you know you are, you sad twat. And again, I don't want to get emotional about it, but
there's ways that you can help us. But anyway, yeah. You can help us by getting a t-shirt. So go on the website,
absolutely.
Check out what you want, message me on Messenger or email if you like, supernaturalpod@gmail.com. Again, all that's in the
description. Yeah. And we do apologize about the inconsistency, but for those of you who are regular listeners, yeah, you know me and Lee work 60 hours a week, yeah, and we don't get the time to do it. So we are as consistent as we physically can be.
Believe us, we do not want to work 60 hours a week, do
no.
we?
No, I'd rather be one of these podcasts that are making 20 grand a month, yeah, and me and Lee can sit here and
do 15 and, hours a week.
Yeah, and
or
do
30 hours a week.
Yeah,
still
just,
want
record,
to do some, but
just record podcasts every day, but unfortunately we're not in that situation. So, but yeah, but thank you for listening, guys. And yeah, don't be a twat and leave a shitty review. And we'll see you on the other side.
And join the t-shirt revolution.
Yeah.
See you on the other side.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.